This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers. For a rich, delicious experience, whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Where's Fielder?
He's gone to the dogs.
You were telling me that you, for the first time that you recall seeing a town preparing for a rainstorm. What's going on there in Kentucky, Billy?
Yes,
Billy?
Yes, sir.
Billy Carter is our guest today, folks. I'm very proud to have him. We're going to talk about something that's brand spanking new. That involves coon hunters, especially in the great state of Kentucky. But, Billy, what's going on over there?
Well, I tell you what, we're preparing for a big spring storm, and luckily it's not one of them late snows, but it's a big rain and wind that's coming through that they've given us on the radio between 10 and 15 inches of rain over the next couple of days, and supposed to have the straight-line winds and stuff tonight, so we've about everyone in the area has been battening down the hatches today, and we've been putting stuff up to blow away and moving livestock if they're down in low ground. So never seen 15 inches of rain at one time, but we're praying it doesn't hit, but we're trying to get prepared if it does.
Well, God bless you, and prayers will go out to you boys there and all the good folks in the state of Kentucky. Something that I'm very proud of, and I don't mean to sound that I'm bragging about it and all, but here on my wall, right, I can see it right from where I'm sitting right now, is a framed copy of my Kentucky Colonel, signed by Brenton Q. Jones, was the governor of Kentucky at that time when I received that. And, man, I'm proud of that. I know that it's – pardon?
Absolutely, absolutely. Welcome to the Kentucky Colonel Club. We're proud to have you as a member.
Well, good, good. You're one too then, huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, it's kind of interesting, maybe as a segue there to what we're going to be talking about today. I'm sure that Wayne Caudill probably had a lot to do with me receiving that back in the day. And we're going to be talking about a brand spanking new sporting dog alliance in the state of Kentucky. And, of course, when we think of Wayne, we think of the Kentucky Houndsman Association that he worked with for many, many years. Did you know Wayne?
I knew Wayne extremely well. I grew up just one town over for him in eastern Kentucky. And Wayne Caudill, Penny, Christina, Jeff Farthing, Red and them, they were the voice, they were the beginning of the Kentucky Houndsman Association. And Wayne was as good a voice, the best voice, in my opinion, for that time period that the Kentucky Houndsman Association could have. He started a super organization. The legislation in which they have fought in Frankfort for the Kentucky hunters, not only coon hunters, but rabbit hunters, bird hunters, deer hunters, what they have fought and what they've been able to accomplish because of Wayne's vision, I guess one would say it. I can't believe I'm sitting here talking about Wayne because I know whether he had a vision, but like Lonesome Dove, he was a man of vision. But what the Kentucky Houndsman Association, when they started, and what they've done to this day is to be commended. They fought in the trenches for a lot of years, and just a great organization right there that he got going.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's kind of unique. I always got a little story about everything, seems like, Billy, and I'll try to be brief. But the last time I went to a Kentucky Houndsman Association meeting, I ended up with a new job. And that was, I went down to Lexington, and they had their annual meeting. And before the meeting, Terry Walker with American Cooner Magazine came up to me and said, "Steve, you got a few minutes this evening? See me down at the lounge. I got something I need to talk to you about." And so I said, "Sure, Terry." Always enjoy seeing Terry. And so anyway, that's when he told me that Larry Meeks was interested in hiring me to go to PKC. And that happened there. I was on the that year they had all of the magazine editors or publishers, like of the Hunter's Horn and Cooner and Full Cry and the Rabbit Hunter and the Chase and the Foxhound magazine. But anyway, that's how I ended up getting in touch with Larry Meeks, and that led to about 7 years there of my life, a very enjoyable 7 years working with PKC.
Were you coined one of your best phrases, PKC, the place to be?
The place to be, yes, sir.
There was no doubt. You know, you've been lucky. You got to work with the major registries and to have that on your resume and the memories you share and with others and on the sport is just something that everyone is envious of right there.
It was a labor of love, and I was very indeed fortunate to do that. But, you know, and what really piqued my interest, Billy, when you and I kind of connected here on Messenger about having you on the podcast today, I know that you were on not very long ago. I don't know if you remember exactly when.
The White River, yes, sir.
Yeah, it was. That's right, when I talked about the White River reports from the different guys, right?
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's correct.
That was back in December. So it's been a minute, as they say nowadays, since we talked. Several things come to mind, Billy. Now, talking about all this water expected to come into Kentucky, I saw an announcement today, I believe, that they've postponed that $100,000 hunt.
Yes, they did. A pro sport right there. That was a great move. I was just talking to a couple of hunters that had entries for it just before you called there. And that was a great move on Greg and Scott, Levi, all of his part right there. I mean, while we love to chase these hounds, we got to put our safety and our hound safety first and foremost. And I commend anyone for taking that with this kind of weather coming in and doing it, because, you know, then it also doesn't make it a fair competition, because then a lot of luck comes involved instead of a good coon trigger. Because you get going towards a big body of water where the bottom's flooded where it normally isn't, and dog goes the wrong way and stuff, so anything can happen. So, yeah, I'm glad to see them postpone that.
Well, me too. We used to jokingly say, you know, the only two things that never get postponed is a football game and a coon hunt. But that's pretty much been the case over the years, but absolutely. Now, I believe, if I'm correct, I should have looked up the exact date, but I believe they've postponed that to the first weekend in May, haven't they?
I think that's what they said, the first weekend in May or something of that nature. Then they said, I think a few leaves aren't going to be on the trees. That'll be the bad part. I said, well, if you hunt what I hunt, sometimes you need some leaves on the trees.
Right. Man, preach it for the ones in the back there. Say it loud.
Right. I've prayed for them leafy trees before.
Oh, yeah. We all have, for sure.
I'm that guy that gets the only slit tree out in the middle of a forest full of leaves in July.
Oh, well, maybe we discussed this when you were on before, but I've told this before. But by golly, it's just perfect with what you just said. Late round, super stakes, hunting a little walker female named Kelly. I had to cast one. I'd already pocketed the money, knew what I was going to do with it and all that. And at that time, I believe we only had maybe one super stakes. I don't know when they switched it over to half a spring and fall. But anyway, my little Jip was leading the cast. I think there were 6 minutes left in the hunt. She trailed up on a ridge there. One of the pups had caught a skunk, was out rolling around in a bean field, sick. One of them had checked out, and we hadn't heard from it since we cut them the first time. But anyway, I was looking pretty good there, and but she rolled up tree, and I said, oh, no, I don't want a tree. I don't need the tree, you know, and they put the stationery on me. So I went ahead and treed her, and by the time we got up on the ridge up there and walked to her, every tree on that ridge was just as thick with foliage as you could ever imagine, except that one dead tree that she was treed on, and there wasn't a gnat on that one that I could find.
Oh, you know? We've all been there.
Oh, you talk about going from the penthouse to the outhouse real quick.
That's right. Hey, I got more stories like that than I do stories where they're taking my picture at the end of the night.
Yeah. Well, if we be honest, we all do, Bill.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, listen, I'd like to catch up with you a little bit what's going on. But now, did you go to the World Hunt?
I did not. Farming season started, and it was a pretty week that week, and we had things going on. And the spring super stakes has been really difficult for me because of farming, and now that we've got a World Hunt in March, it's become difficult again. So the last couple of years, and I hate that I missed it. I mean, I do, but you got to make hay where the sun's shining, and so that's what I was doing. Last couple of years, I've switched my World Hunt trip to the AKC World Hunt up there in Ohio at Bainbridge. And I've just really been enjoying that group of people and that club. If no one's ever
I'm
been
glad
to
hear that.
World, they should go.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Terry Vance, those guys, I don't know if Terry's still involved in that around there. Some too, but Bainbridge, that was quite a well-known place back in the days of Bill Boatman's hunting supply and so forth. And
they got some rough hunting up there to be Ohio. You know, people just automatically think cornfields and stuff, but you get to southern Ohio, that's a different animal right there.
That's right. Well, I didn't get to go to the World Hunt either, but I'm kind of encouraged to hear that they're going to have the Nationals maybe back in Aurora.
Back to home. You know, I'm a traditionalist, Steve, and I think a lot of coon hunters are traditionalists.
Yeah.
And that, you know, there was always something about West Kentucky in October and Aurora.
Mm.
I mean, you had the leaves, you could fish during the day, you could loaf with your buddies, there was a there was an atmosphere and ambience down there that was just second to none. And I really think they will have a heck of a crowd.
Well, tonight. I do too, and I am going to plan to go if I can in any way possible, because just the thought of getting to walk into that tennis center again and see it full of coon hunters is just something I don't want to miss. You know,
that's exactly right. Just think of the dreams that was that came true in that room, the friendships that were made. The big name, I mean, that is, if there was a holy shrine of coonhounds to me, it's the Tennis Center at Aurora.
Yeah. Well, I used to say that Florida, Illinois was the mecca for coon hunters, you know, because you walk in that little kitchen there and look on the walls, and there's plaques there from just about, you know, from World Hunts to RQEs to breed days, you know, many times they held black and tan days there. They held black days there many times, English days, on and on. But I'll have to agree with you, Billy, for district impact and memories. I had Billy Bell on. In fact, his podcast airing as we're recording this one. And we were talking about that, you know, experience in Aurora and how impactful it was on so many people. You know, and what I mentioned to him was that, you know, I was kind of insulated from all that due to my involvement with UKC. I, you know, I had always been a UKC guy, and, you know, and of course that job kept me busy. But man, when I went to PKC and I saw this whole community of hunters that are the core of it is there in that West Kentucky, West Tennessee, Southern Illinois area there, you know. And man, I beat that horse to death on this podcast, and I know people probably getting tired of hearing me. But if out there, if you're listening to this thing, and you get a chance to go to Aurora this fall for that national championship, you get it done. Will that just be the dogs that qualified last year, right?
That would just be the dogs that qualified last year. Yep. One of them 1,000, or if you got a gold champion or above. And I think there'll be a lot of people scrambling to find them a dog to go. I don't have one, so I'm going to be scrambling to find me a dog to go.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic experience. It brings to mind to me, I wonder if the community of Aurora there is still active, you know, with the cabins and motels and restaurants and so forth.
I'm through Aurora a couple times a week, and it went downhill after the hunts left. It was hunts and the fishermen is what kept it going. It went downhill. I'm probably speaking out of place, but I'm going to assume that during the COVID time, they got some grant monies or some subsidies or something, because they've kind of built back nicer and redoing them. And there's people, the cabins are back pretty good shape, and there's people actually coming into town and staying and stuff. No doubt this is going to be a shot in the arm for the local economy there in Aurora.
Oh, no doubt. Please tell me the Willow Pond restaurant with the white
Willow Pond,
beans.
Hey, when you come down, you can have your catfish and white beans. They're open on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, but I'm sure that week they'll be open for us. And, hey, there's a lot of stories swapped at that place.
Oh, man. I love it. Billy, that's great. That's great. Well, to lay a little bit of groundwork about what we're going to talk about, you know, when I went to Michigan, part of my job, I found out, was to work with the legislative issues. And right away, I became acquainted with the various associations in Michigan. Michigan's one of the best organized states for sportsmen in the country. I'd say probably is the best organized. Between the bear hunters, the coon hunters, what they call the Michigan United Conservation Clubs, and all of that, you know, they kind of come under one big umbrella with the MUCC. And then I was fortunate to work on the board with the Michigan Hunting Dog Federation, which when I look at the name of this new group that's forming there and has formed, I guess, in Kentucky, Kentucky Sporting Dog Alliance. I like the name. I think you're wise to incorporate all the sporting dogs. You know, years ago, I started a thing called SCAN and at UKC. And first, it started off as State Coon Hunters Awareness Network. And then we wisely changed the name to State Canine Awareness Network. And that was a pretty successful effort for several years there. But I've talked enough. In fact, I'm talked myself hoarse already. What's going on in Kentucky? Tell us about this new Sporting Dog Alliance and what you know about it, Billy.
Well, we're really excited about this new Kentucky Sporting Dog Alliance. And you're exactly right. It has to be an alliance between all of us. We like to sit back and we all like to think that our group is the group. But, you know, like the old Kentucky motto, united we stand, divided we fall. We've got bird dog, lab, beagle, squirrel dog, coon dog, foxhound. We've got to unite because we do have common enemies. And then we have common friends also to gain our momentum and our strength from. So it's got to be a group of all. And I'm glad you like the name, but that's what we're wanting is unity. And, you know, as we talked about in the beginning, the Kentucky Houndsman Association has been a fabulous organization since the early 90s. They've battled for us. They've been to the trenches and things of that nature. And they're an important voice in Frankfort when it's time for legislation. However, some of the hunters, you can never have enough voices going for the same thing. You know, if you got one kid in the house, I can speak about my kids. One kid, I can handle one voice. Two of them, they can get their way because it's just like, be quiet and leave me alone. And so this is we didn't start to be, you know, I've had several people say, well, are you in a, and just get this out and aired out of the way. Are you in competition with the Kentucky Houndsman Association? Absolutely not. We love what they do. We want them to go. What the Kentucky Sporting Dog Alliance is for is more about in today's time. And you talked about a labor of love and, with these hounds, and that's what it is for a lot of us. The hunter's horn, American cooner back in the days, you sit there and you think about the bygone days and you're like, and as a coon hunter, we say, well, it's a dying sport. You know, there ain't as many people around the club and ain't this and that. And I was just sitting around, I got to thinking, you know, it's easy to say that. And if no one gets up and does anything about it, we are going to die. And so the Sporting Dog Alliance here that we have is about helping the clubs and the hunters. So there's no need for a club to open if they don't have competitors coming to it. And if competitors don't come, there's no need for a clubhouse. So they both work completely together. And we all know these clubs are struggling in today's time. Just keep lights on. A lot of them don't even have a clubhouse anymore. They're doing it at a community center or local store or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. And you coming from West Virginia, like me from Eastern Kentucky, we remember those days of 100-plus dogs in the club parking lot, and it was an all-day event.
Oh, yeah.
And I would love to see it get back to there. Will it get back to that? I don't know, but I'm not going to leave this world without trying to make it get back to there myself. Mm-hmm. So that's where it come into to have this alliance. So what this Kentucky Sporting Dog Alliance for is our dream is to be able, through a membership that we're doing, clubs join for $20, and the members join for
$20. Okay.
We're going to have a hunt-off at the end of the year for the coonhounds. And we do have the beagles going to be involved, the squirrel dogs, the bird dogs, and we have subcommittees. So I don't know anything about competition rabbit hunting. I'd be the last person you'd want to talk to about that. So today we're going to talk about coon dogs, but we have subcommittees of the people that is their passion that will be running those areas and not step over. But our dream is to one day be able to pay all the licensing fees for every club in Kentucky to UKC, PKC, ACHA, for when they have their hunts, to help them save money to the club to keep the lights on.
Mm.
This year being year one through our membership, we're going to have a hunt for the top 24 point earners at the end of the year. And what we're doing is the clubs that are members are going to host two hunts in conjunction with the regular UKC, PKC, ACHA hunts. Okay. So if you've got a UKC doubleheader this weekend, a Sporting Dog Alliance member will be there. We send a hunt packet to that club. They write that hunter's name down. He gets 1 point for signing up, 2 points for a cast win, for a total of 3 points, and one person will get 1 point for being the high-scoring dog of the night. Then, when they send us that hunt packet back for us to record that, we will send that club their licensing fee. While that's just $35, that's a whole lot to a club, and we're going to do that for two clubs. We got 60-some clubs in Kentucky, and the let them have two, and at the end of the year, the top 24.
You said two clubs, but you mean two events a year.
Two events a year, right, for this year, since we got to walk before you can crawl. Our monies aren't that big. So then at the top 24, we're going to have a top 24 hunt off, and we're going to have two hunt offs. So let's say we have $10,000 in the raccoon hunter's pool. So okay. You got guys that want to run the roads, you got guys that just want to qualify for the TOC or win a few casts a year and in multiple kennel clubs. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a top 24 hunt off for the guys that want to run and gain the points. And if there's $10,000 in that kitty, them top 24 are going to hunt for $5,000 plus prizes from our sponsors. And I'll mention the sponsors in a moment. And then the other $5,000 is going to be hunted for by any member who won five casts during this year. So we got one for the guys that want to run hard and one for the guys that won five casts. That could be five UKC casts at our sanction deal, or it could be two PKC and three UKC, one ACHA. We don't care what registry.
Okay, now on this runoff for this final hunt of the year and all, like it, yes. The way I'm catching it, there's actually going to be two hunts.
Two hunts, correct. Yeah. Two runoffs. Okay. That's right. One, you can qualify for both. So your top 24 point earners are going to be the ones going to run, and they're going to have obviously five cast wins, maybe 15 cast wins. But for the guy that can't go every weekend, we don't want to leave anyone out, but he can go enough during the year to win him five casts. Then he gets to hunt for the same prize package as the Road Warrior.
Yeah, and if I understand it correctly, now this is in addition to whatever a normal championship point structure the registries might have. For instance,
correct.
If you're getting your wins toward your titles in UKC or PKC or whatever.
That's right. If you're going for your five cast wins for UKC for the TOC, and everybody does, then five wins qualifies you for this.
Right. And a night champion title on your dog. And then as that builds, it goes into grand night and so forth.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. That's exactly right. And we wanted to go something that was going to support the club and get the hunters back out there to the clubs. Right. And, you know, if we don't start looking at it both ways, we can have all the legislation we want to protect our rights. And that's great to have. But if we don't have the hunters in the clubs, what are we fighting for?
I see. So you're taking the approach with this alliance to increase participation in the sport. And that's a wise decision, Billy, because strength in numbers, okay?
Exactly.
When you go in these legislative fights, you don't want to go up there and say, it's me, my wife, you and your wife, us four and no more. Here to oppose this bill. We want to walk in there and say, I'm representing the Kentucky Sporting Dog Alliance, 52 coon clubs in the state of Kentucky or whatever it is, and X number of members, and I have the figures to support the kind of participation we have. And we feel like that we are a formidable group in the state of Kentucky, and that's pretty much the angle. Am I correct?
You are 100% correct. It gives us a true voice instead of just being the old redneck coon hunters. It gives us a true voice, and we hope to grow this not only to help our clubs and help our hunters, but grow it into a voice to where when an individual is running for governor or state rep or something in a region that we have, we want to be a voice to where they want to contact us and see how we would vote as a whole or what we think about this. And then that will give us power in Frankfort and will help Kentucky Houndsman Association have more power in Frankfort.
Absolutely. Preach it. Preach it. You know, my good friend Mike Thorman up in Michigan with the Michigan Hangdog Federation, he tells me whenever we get a chance to talk, he says, Steve, you know, back in the day, we worked together on a lot of issues and all, and we kind of had, We had a great calling card in Dr. Al Stinson, a retired veterinary professor that was well known in Michigan. But we worked hard to get in to see these congresspeople and representatives and all. Mike tells me now when something's coming up, they call us. You know, they say, hey, what's your take on this, Mike? And that's the kind of position I'm sure that you want to have.
That's exactly right. Yep. We want to be a sure enough voice, not only in the hunting world, but when it comes to, I shouldn't say we want to by no means get into politics, but if it comes a major thing that doesn't fit, we just want to be a voice in there. But, you know, we'll protect the hunters, we'll protect the clubs, we'll do that. And, you know, it's going to increase participation. So Eric Bowling is a state PKC president here in Kentucky.
Right.
And we have our state PKC hunt May 5th through 10th. Well, listeners out there, I want you all to be planning on coming to Kentucky May 5th through 10th and come to our PKC state up, because like most states, you know what we've been doing the last several? Struggling. You know, we can't even get full entries. We can't get all 16 dogs there. And as you know, when we were at your time of PKC, it was unheard of if you had to go down to 24 dogs.
In Kentucky?
That's right. Yeah, you know, Shane, Eric contacted Shane today. So what we're doing, this is our grand opening, I guess one would say. We had our inaugural meeting last night. What we're going to do, thanks to Kevin Rainwater and Boss Lights helping sponsors, and we have Gary Beatty at GT Hunting Supply and Jimmy Oakes of Fox Hollow Hunting Supply also sponsoring. But this first one's going to be on the Boss Lights. We're giving a new Boss Light to the high-scoring dog Monday through Wednesday of the warm-up hunts. Then Thursday night in the Scottsville Kentucky Club, we're giving a new light to the high-scoring dog on the open event. Friday and Saturday night, same thing. And in the youth hunter, also the high scoring youth hunter at the state championship gets new lights. We're going to give 7 lights away that week. And we know that's small to start with, but that's just to show the guys that we are going. I told them, I said, if we have $30,000 in the bank account and January 1, when we start a new year, if we've got any left over, we've done a wrong job, because we want it all to go to clubs and hunters.
Well, that's certainly a good start, a good start. And, you know, a light today will cost you nearly $400.
Shane, he said, hey, that's a great idea, Eric. Roll on with it. That's going to help participation for us. And, you know, if we can increase the participation from the kennel clubs, then the kennel clubs will smile upon us and let us and work with us also.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Now, to reiterate, now, this is a PKC state championship, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
The Kentucky Councilman Association does the UKC state championship in the fall, and that is theirs. We're not trying to compete or step on any toes. We're just taking, since this is in the western part of the state, has never really been a big houndsman. It just never got over to this side of the state. And how we're doing this, we got our regional board of directors, and regional hunters know their area better. I know my Western Kentucky better guys and what they like better than what I know what Eastern Kentucky likes today's time. Mm-hmm. So our board of directors, we're having a Eastern Kentucky, a Southeastern Kentucky, a Central, South Central, Northern, Western Kentucky reps. That way we cover the state and we can know what each person kind of wants or likes in that individual area of their state right there, instead of just making it a state and not being able to visit the whole state.
Well, I think that's certainly wise representation. Everybody looked, each group looks at things a little bit differently. And, well, sounds like you got this thing fairly well on the road. I mean, you say you just had
our inaugural organizational meeting last night in Glasgow, Kentucky at the Gryport Coon Club. We had 6 area clubs. We're going to have regional meetings throughout the rest of the month of May. And we're inviting all the clubs. It's within an hour and a half of the club to drive down and join us. And we had 6 clubs join last night. And we were really tickled. I was surprised one club drove almost 2 hours excited about getting this going.
That's awesome.
And, you know, us old coon hunters, we stick together real good. And we'll fight for a common goal. We'll fight with each other. Never tell us that our dog ain't very good or say something about our dog. That'll make us mad. But when it comes to common ground, we'll all fight for the same goal.
Well, that's right. And to be proactive, Billy, you know, for so many years, it was kind of hard to muster the troops unless there was something going on. But just let them say they're going to, you know, outlaw coon dogs or outlaw or say you can only own two or whatever the cause may be, then everybody's ready to go to the state capitol and march, yep. You know. But we need to be proactive.
That's right. And that brings me to another point that we've also got that's unique and different than a lot of the organizations around, is we have the luxury of having an individual by the name of Johnny Bale, an attorney out of Glasgow, Kentucky. And Johnny was an old coon hunter. Actually, when I was a young kid, I used to handle for him. And he is on board with us and going to be our attorney. And so if a member has a dog shot, he will give lessons on or give advice on how to go about it, how to get your damages, what laws pertain, how they need to be applied, and things of that nature. So we're really happy to have Johnny on board
as an attorney,
especially in today's time where these woodlots are shrinking and we're seeing more of my things. Sturry's got his coyote dog killed, and that's why it needs to go back to the Alliance, and that's why everybody needs to join. It doesn't matter if you got a beagle, a lab, or your wife's Jack Russell running in the yard. If you're a member, something happens, we want the members to call us, and we want to stand there and have that voice and make sure this does not become just an over and over again happening thing.
Well, that was the idea behind this scan program that I had at UKC, and we used the empty collar as our symbol. If we lose these dogs, that's all we're going to have to remember our great sport by is their empty collars. Because, you know, the sportsman taken away. But the idea there was to have representatives in each state scanning the media, scanning the newspapers, the word of mouth, anything. And when something popped up, somebody get a dog shot, as you mentioned, or whatever, then, you know, that went out to the whole network. And there was support. Say you're in Kentucky and that happens, and my buddy Mike up in Michigan said, well, we had that same issue back last year, and here's how we did it. We were successful, and here's the way we did it, and if you can use that there in Kentucky, you know, we want to help you. And then also, I've noticed, especially in these big game hunting situations where they're trying to take away the sport, like recently in Colorado, the other states like Michigan and wherever contribute funding, you know. So yes. You create a network, and I know you know all. You're a sharp guy, Billy. You know all this stuff, but the average guy out there may not think about all this. That there's great power in networking with other associations and stuff. And I know that you'll be doing that as well, won't you?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we got to do. And, you know, we open, and again, any of the listeners here tonight, hey, feel free to join in and contact us and be a member, because we'll extend that service to those in other states too. Any member of this alliance will have that. But it's about the networking. And if we're going to keep it going, and we're going to, hound hunting is not going to die. We're going to make sure it keeps plugging along, but we've just got to start thinking about what we can do with our automobiles. And, you know, people say, well, I'm not a competition hunter, so why enter? Why be a part of this if it's going to be for the hunters? And I get that. You know, I'm more of a pleasure hunter anymore myself, but, you know, how many of us like to jump in our truck, drive to Grand American and look around, drive to automobile, look around, drive to the breed days and look around? If we don't preserve competition coon hunting, we won't be able to hop in our truck and go talk to our buddies and look at that big winning dog in real life.
Sure.
And that's why we need the pleasure hunter and the competition hunter.
Well, yeah. And you know, that door swings both ways. We need everybody. You know, back in the day when fur prices were decent and a guy, you know, it was worthwhile to go out and sell some fur, that encouraged guys to join the coon clubs, if nothing else, after seeing this, come around, sit around and have a cup of coffee and shoot the bull and tell the stories. And so when fur prices went away, it hurt club membership. So the point being, it all works together.
You know? We're all together. We're all one. We can fight amongst each other a little bit, but it doesn't matter what you are. We are all the same. So to keep it even for the pleasure hunter going, that pleasure hunter and the competition hunter both need to be members of that club, supporting that club.
Right. Well, my encouragement to you was number one is do it. You know, you've got a good start already. The hard part comes with seeing it through, continuing yes. on. Maybe entries are not what you expected at this hunt or that hunt. Press on. You know, that's press right. on because, you know, keep your eye on the goal, as they say,
that,
you know.
That's right. I'm sure General Patton got a little bit discouraged sometimes during the war, but he said, hey, we got to keep going, you know, and that's what it's right. about. You can have the greatest dream in the world, but if you have no vision, plan, or work ethic to finish it through, you might as well not start it. And I can tell you, with the group we're putting together here, I do feel it will rock and roll and be going. Our Facebook page is the Kentucky Sporting Dog Alliance for those looking. Hey, jump on there, like us, follow us. We'll explain some. Reach out to me there. We'll discuss anything that anyone has questions about. If any other state has an idea that they're doing, hey, I'd love to network. Kyle, talk with me. We'll take it because I think this can just work so many ways. I look back to the local club that I'm president of. We were struggling 15 years ago.
Right.
Hunt participation down, things of that nature.
Is that in Elkton?
Well, it is in Elkton's doing the same thing, but I'm in Logan County. I live in Elkton, okay. but I'm in Logan County, okay. 10 miles away to the other club.
All right.
And I said, you know, I'm going to do something that's kind of out of the box. And we got to get out of the box sometimes. And this goes for every club in the United States. This works, guys, because there's about 20 clubs following this format, and it keeps all of our doors open. I said, I want to have a meatless meat hunt. They said, you want to do what? I said, I want to have a meatless meat hunt. I said, we want $50 from everybody to join this. And I said, I don't want to have a bunch of dead raccoons to throw away after it's over with. And I said, I'm going to go out and buy some prizes. We actually hunted for a pickup truck, a four-wheel drive S10 the first year. I went and bought a four-wheel drive S10, an older model, but a nice truck. Then we done some four-wheelers. And then we got into just doing some other prizes. But we'll go each year and spend about $2,000. Out of our pockets, or the club if it goes and buys that. And we do that, and the area hunters live all year long for the meatless meat hunt. We get there at the club, and we cook, and we eat. Nobody hunts. They sit there, and they tell the old stories. We'll have about 80 entries a year, and so that's $4,000 comes into the club that night. We give away $2,000 in prizes. The club just profited $2,000, and it keeps the doors open the rest of the year. And the area clubs started doing this, and that's what's keeping us all afloat here in the state of Kentucky. It ain't hunt numbers. It's our meatless meat hunts.
Meatless meat hunts. I never yep. heard of such.
Yeah, it's quite a thing. It's even went over into Tennessee and some other areas. But if your club is struggling, and everybody will give you $50 donation to the club to have a chance to win something, and then if it's a hunter that doesn't win it, they'll normally sell it to someone while they're there. But you just got to think outside the box, keep these doors open at these clubs so we can come. And that's, again, back to the Kentucky Sporting Dog Alliance. It's as equally important about the club as it is about the hunter, because we got to have them both to make it work.
Well, you know, in Michigan, for example, and I'll use the Upper Peninsula Bear Houndsman Association, Joe and Nancy Hudson up there. Each year in March, they have their banquet, and they'll sell about 500 banquet tickets, okay? And then uh-huh. they have all kinds of raffles. A lot of stuff is donated, but they buy a lot of stuff and a lot of guns, new guns, yeah. you know? And they'll routinely, now I haven't seen their books, I've never seen their books, but I yes. heard one of their reports in a while, but they would routinely clear $30,000 at their banquet, yes. you know, and because people would come out, have a nice evening, they'd have some speakers in the afternoon, then, you know, and then they'd start their, they'd have their meal. Typically a buffet catered in, you know. They'd have it at a nice place up there. They kind of go to a casino up there in Escanaba lately in latter years. But anyway, the whole thing is everybody gets out. Hunting season's over. It's cold in Michigan. not much to do. Cabin fever sets in. Everybody comes out to the banquet. Everybody brings some money and buys some raffle tickets, you know, and they have a big spender. If you want to buy $100 or more raffle tickets, you're a big spender. And you got, there's special raffles just for the big spenders. But if you're not, you want to spend $20 or $10 or whatever, there's something for you. And those raffles just go on and on and on. And everybody's circulating around the tables and having a good time and having a few drinks. Now, whether you want to condone that or not, that's totally up to you. But that's part of the fellowship.
It might spend money a little better sometimes.
Pardon me?
It makes them spend money a little easier sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. We learned that in the Michigan Hunting Dog Federation. When we started our banquet, we had free beer.
Yep.
And that loosens the bidding up quite a bit.
It does. But, you know, the one thing that organization you're talking about and the other organization that you got to have that work ethic to see it through. There's no reason not to make it unless you don't work at it. If you will work at it, things will come true. And they say dreams come true. Dreams come true a lot because of work.
And yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Kind of lack that. You know, and you can look at that club, and you normally in all clubs, you got two or three people that do the work, and the rest come to loaf. If the ones coming to loaf, and we got to have them, and we want them, I ain't talking about you fellas, because I know the guys y'all are saying right now, Billy Carter's talking about me. But if you just give 15% work and the other 85% loaf, that club would be on top of the world.
Yeah, just be part of the team. Just join up. Just be there. Be counted. You know, the old saying, it's probably wore out now, but teamwork makes the dream work, you know.
That's right.
And we're all on this team. Everybody, I think I can't imagine anybody's listening to my podcast that doesn't love a tree dog. You know, why else would they listen? Because there's nothing else to listen to. But,
you know, it gets in your soul. It can't be explained. And my wife says, Billy, why do you want to start something like this? You're busy and this and that. And it goes back, and again, I'll say it again, to that labor of love you talked about. These hounds have been a labor and a love for me both. You got to work with a hound. I mean, there's a lot of – I probably wouldn't work near as hard as I try to coon hunt sometimes because it don't make good sense to go through what we go through. Yeah. But when it gets in your blood, in your soul, it becomes you.
Yeah.
And you just can't – there's no way I could walk out of the house happy each morning if I didn't walk out and be able to see a hound sitting there in the kennel. I mean, it just from a youth on, there'd just be no way. And that's why we want everyone to join this Kentucky Sporting Dog Alliance, whether it's a beagle, a bird dog, your coonhound. We want your voice to be counted. We want to make this something memorable. We want to make sure that the next generation and the next generation can walk out the door, look at their dog, and be tickled to death going to work that morning.
Well, these darn cell phones and the internet have kind of isolated us. You know, we get on, we think we can pick out something witty and post it up on Facebook. We've done something. But, man, I just look back to my days in Michigan. The club there at Bellevue has held a lot of major events for Breed Association. You've been there, I see.
Yes.
Yeah. You walk in that club, and the front part is where they take the entries and hold the bench show. And then there's those bat wing doors. It's kind of like going into the Long Branch Saloon on Gunsmoke. You go through there into the Den Tree Cafe, and everybody's sitting around in there telling lies, laughing, having a bowl of chili or a hamburger or a plate lunch, and just having the time of their lives. You know, we need to get together, guys. We need pastors know this. You know, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Okay? And the reason it says that is we need the fellowship of other people, other Christians in that case. But in this regard, we need the fellowship of our fellow hunters, you know. And don't just walk in, pay an entry, go to the woods. If you get beat, jump in the truck, go home. You know, come back, have a cup of coffee, eat a breakfast, enjoy the conversation. To me, I think a lot of hunters today are missing what is really the core of our sport, and that's a fellowship.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that yourself, of course, and I caught kind of the tail end there, I think it kind of started changing early 2000s. we understood what it was like to sit there and talk, and we had as much fun hearing the old men tell the stories and the camaraderie amongst all of it. And then somehow we kind of switched over and we said, we're going to get there right at deadline time. If we win, great. If we don't, we're going to scoot on back out of here and we go. One of these days, them legs ain't going to let you follow a hound, a beagle, a bird dog, and you're going to wish you had that club or that time back that you could have relished and sat there and had those memories. Billy, we live too fast.
Yes, sirree. It goes incredibly fast. And that's my situation now. I would love to be up there in Western Kentucky and have a good club that I could go out to and sit around on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening, although I can't keep up with the boys anymore. I still hunt, but I can't keep up with the cast anymore and wouldn't want to slow them down.
But, and these younger boys need to realize that they need to go pick the older hunter up and take them. It's as important to introduce a youth to coon hunting or rabbit hunting or bird hunting as it is to make sure the elderly or the older don't have to do without it.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, if you spend a lifetime with it, and as you say, it gets down in your soul, you don't want to give it up. You know, I'm 78 years old.
Yep.
I have this conversation with myself a lot. Steve, you know, you probably ought to just hang it up. You know, don't try to train a young dog. I always have to have help anymore with that. Don't do the podcast. Don't write articles and all. Just relax. You know, you've worked all these years. Just let it all slide. And I think, man, no, it's my life, you know.
Yeah. Who would Steve Fielder be without a plot dog?
The plot breed would probably be a whole lot better off. I often said to the hunters at the big hunts, you know, I want to thank this whole group of you sitting out there because you're responsible for a great living for me and my family and educating my son and all the things, the benefits that I received, you know, from being, but the greatest ones were just the friendship. And as I mentioned to you about the Kentucky Colonel presentation, and I also have one I'm proud of. I'm an honorary Texan from the state of Texas. But, you know, just those kind of things. When you're 78 years old, you look back over your life, what you got to show for it? Oh, man, I was a King Commando on Facebook. Do you remember the early days of the PKC message board with King Coma?
Yes. King Coma, but old Bill Morris. That's right. Okay, we're going to syndicate him right there. Him and Weatherford, by God.
That's right. Old Weatherford and Johnny from out in Texas.
That's right.
And all the boys. Well, they were hard on old Bill.
they was bad hard on old Bill. Old Bill must be able to take a really good joke. They just smile and come back.
That's right. He believed in old Coma.
He did. I seen Coma Tree a Coon one night, so I mean, he might have been onto something with that syndication. It worked with Secretariat. I don't know why it couldn't work with King Coma.
That's right. But oh my goodness, the memories, you know, that they're involved in the sport. Now listen,
and Billy, as we sit here and we talk and we shoot these memories back and forth, that's another reason. I'm not trying to put in that plug, but that's why the Sporting Dog Alliance, we want 15, 20, 30 years from now, the younger ones that's in their 30s, be in their 60s, sitting there bantering with the same memories because of something like this.
Absolutely. Well, how do I join? How do I contribute? How, you know, what can I do?
Well, first off, I want to thank you. I shot you that message last night. You said, hey, let's record. You're reaching a big audience. And just to have the opportunity to be on Gone to the Dogs podcast with you to reach that audience is very, very, very much appreciated. For the individuals that want to become members like yourself and others, hey, hit that like on that Facebook page. Drop a message with your address. I check them every day. We're in the process. We'll have our membership cards and everything printed, supposed to be done by the end of next week. I'll mail those to the individuals. They can fill them out, send them back to us. We'll get that to you. We're in the process of making our web page for a person to be able to go on the website, pay their membership with a card and things of that nature. We're walking before we're crawling. We're just getting going.
Sure.
The amount of support that's being shown for this has been amazing. in the last 3 weeks when we first started dreaming this idea up. It's just been amazing. And hey, we're just a bunch of old coon hunters at the end of the day, and rabbit hunters and fox hunters and stuff. So we got to get these people to do this technology stuff for us. So my daughters and my wife are shaking their head at me every time. I'm like, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? And I told the wife last night, I said, you've got to come up with some kind of computer program to put these numbers in so we can keep track of who's winning what and who's going to go there. And she just looks at me and she's like, what else are you going to get me into in my life? I'm like, I don't know. We got a long way to go, Bob.
Well, the man said for better or worse, right?
That's right. I'm thinking sometimes he thinks it's worse more than better.
I got you. Well, you're doing the right thing. You know, I wrote a book back a few years ago, and I've sold a bunch of those online. People can get on there, you know, and just pay with PayPal or, you know, and they don't have to type in their, just put in their PayPal. I don't know if you plan to use that or not, but.
We're going to try to link it with PayPal,
Venmo.
And there
maybe.
Was another one a young man said to link it with. And again, we've got some younger guys that are into this kind of stuff.
Let those young guns handle all that tech
that,
stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm still a pen and paper kind of guy.
Sure.
So, you know, yeah. they can figure out all how that works. And but we're going to make it obviously customer easy because it's got to be customer easy.
Yeah.
And we look forward to for the Kentucky hunters, for the out-of-state hunters, the ones that live in Indiana, Ohio, Tennessee, to come over and support our clubs that are members. And we look forward to having the clubs in Kentucky members. And we're going to, and as the future goes, we'll get bigger. We'll have some hunts just as a sport dog alliance. If you're a beagle man, bird dog man, all that, hey, fellas, we want y'all. We want, and there's two places people will always come, and that's where you feel welcome and wanted. And we welcome you and we want you.
That's very well said, Billy. Billy Carter's our guest today, and talking about the Kentucky Sporting Dog Alliance, a newly formed organization in the great state of Kentucky. And what better place to start one? We look back, most all of us have heard of a Walker dog. Well, the Walker family were from the great state of Kentucky, and it was that foxhound background that they began back there all those many years ago that evolved into the Dream Walker that we know today. Kentucky's always been such a great sporting dog state. And I remember the first time I hunted in a UKC licensed night hunt was at the Bluegrass Coon Hunters Association in Georgetown, Kentucky. So, you know, Kentucky has a special place. My grandparents on my mother's side were both born in the state of Kentucky over there in the eastern part where the good people come from. Right, Bill?
Right.
Well, right. All right, buddy. Well, listen,
right.
I appreciate so much you coming on tonight. Anything else we need to cover here? Let's don't leave anything.
Steve, I think we've done good. I appreciate what you do for the hunters of living as an avenue to listen to things, to learn new things, have the other hunters on, talk about their experiences. I think that's a true asset for us. Don't stop. When you're 98, I hope you're still doing your Gone to the Dogs podcast. And, hey, just don't let them gators get you and that young fox dog down in Florida.
I hear you, brother. I appreciate you. You have a great rest of your day, bud, and stay in touch. Keep us informed on what's going on with the Kentucky Sporting Dog Alliance.
Will do. Thank you, Steve. You take care now.
All right. Now, I wanted to say before you go, Billy, if they want to contact you directly, is that okay?
270-792-3859 is my cell number. Or, obviously, Trammell Creek is what I go by. Everybody knows me on that. On Facebook, you can contact me that way. And I'll be tickled to death to talk with anyone about it.
There you go. And that's Trammell Creek.
That is correct.
All righty. Okay, Billy Carter, sure appreciate you, brother. You have a great day.
You too, Steve. God bless. Bye.
Bye. Okay, folks, there you have it. Another organization in this great sport that is a group of guys there that have a vision to continue this sport to people, obviously, that have a history in the sport and know how great it was when the numbers were big and the guys would spend more time at the clubs. Billy, his heart's in the right place, and he's a sharp guy, as I said. And he's doing a good job with this. Well, I've talked this whole voice horse today, so I'm going to let you guys have some relief. I'm going to let you come up for air. And I want to thank my sponsors, DU Hunting Supply, W Hunting Supply. That's DUSupply.com. Also, Alpha Dog Nutrition, those great supplements for your dog to help that dog be all it can be. And also want to thank my close friend and longtime sponsor of this podcast, Mr. Mark Zepp with Zepp Predator Calls. That's going to do it for this week, folks. Thanks for hanging with me. Steve Fielder here. And if you miss me, you know that I'll be gone to the dogs.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.